Amen. All right. Let's stand together. We've got a treat for you. Just felt led this week to bring our declaration back. Do we have that slide up there, guys? Okay. So let's take our Bible, or if your Bible app is on your phone, that counts. That's a real thing. Brother Dwayne reads out of his phone all the time. So anyway, let's take our Bible and hold this up and say it together. This is my Bible. It contains God's sacred and holy words. I am who it says I am. I will do what it says I will do. It is a marvelous tool to help me know God, hear his voice, and help others do the same. All right, amen. Let's be seated. Thank you, Lord. We've been purposing to walk in the authority of Christ through getting to know the Lord through his scripture and digging through John chapter 6. And before we dive deeply into that, I want to recap something from last week. Where does our obedience come from? Remember that? Where does our obedience come from? Is it us or is it Christ? And we said, yes, yeah. Yes, both. It comes from both. Obedience, like self-control, is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a byproduct of our abiding and walking with Christ. That's Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I've heard it said, self-control is love's victory. Obedience cannot be us independent of Christ, for Jesus said himself, apart from me, you can do nothing. So even being obedient. Nikki said it this week. I like what she said. The choice to obey is ours, but the power to walk it out is his. And so we believe, we consent, we make that choice. And then as we've studied with the word faith, God actually inbursts the faith through our believing. The word believe is pisteuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. It means deep personal ongoing trust. That's believing. Remember, we read it last week, John 6. This is the work of God. Jesus said, believe. What's the Father want from you? Believe. So when you believe and you are deeply, personally reliant on him and trusting him, he actually inbursts the faith in us through our receptivity. John chapter 15, if you've ever Bible hubbed or looked in the Strong's Concordance for the word fruit, this helps us understand it. It's two life streams coming together to produce something eternal. That's what the Greek word fruit means. Two life streams, not one. Not him independent of you or you independent of him. His life stream and yours coming together to produce something eternal. And so it is a partnership in our obeying. Our believing and receiving helps lead us to the inbirthing of faith and then obedience. So, speaking of two life streams coming together to bear fruit, Megan sent me this email, and I want to read it to you. Is it Megan in here, or is she in kids' church today? I think she's back there. She works in pre-K through third grade, and that's where this little story came from. Here's what Megan said. Serving at Kids of Grace has blessed me tremendously. I realize God's simple truths we teach the kids in Kids of Grace are truly ageless. Amen. Recently, Jody asked me to if I'd be available to fill in on Sunday mornings in pre-K through third grade. Honestly, it was a bad week for me. I was stressed about all these circumstances that were beyond my control. I didn't feel like I had the mental capacity to serve the next day. So Jody reached out to her on Saturday. But I felt the Holy Spirit nudging me. How many of you, we've been there, right? So now you're at the crossroads. Am I going to obey my feelings and my mental capacity? How many of you ever measured yourself and felt like you were short, you were lacking? So that's a real thing. And you are short apart from him. But you're not apart from him. So she obeyed the Holy Spirit's nudging instead. So that Sunday just happened to be a lesson on the names of God, specifically El Shaddai, meaning God Almighty. He's more than enough. There's nothing he can't do. I am almost certain that lesson taught me more than the kids that Sunday. Jennifer Bennett had given me a word of encouragement that morning that was confirmed, listen to this, by a prophetic drawing by one of the kids on the whiteboard about 20 minutes later. It's good to obey the Lord, isn't it? He's got all these divine setups for us. We just need to walk in it. But I love that. A prophetic picture that one of the children wrote on the board confirmed the prophetic word that morning. The Lord spoke to my heart about how his name is the reminder I needed. That there's nothing beyond his control and I could trust him because he was my protection. And I could know that he was encouraging me when I needed it the most. The days I don't feel like I have enough to bring are the days that the Holy Spirit comes through more than I ever could. It is an honor to teach our children the Word of God and the true nature of God and see them cultivate and continue a relationship with Him. This is not babysitting. This is kingdom work. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, go ahead and give the Lord praise for that. So I've been encouraging you the last few weeks. I've been encouraging you. Let's be a church that never lacks volunteers. That's part of our MO. We never lack for volunteers. And, man, speaking of that, Brother Tim, I had a word during worship. I was reminded of the scripture, greatest of all will be servant of all. And in the body of Christ, some people are servant of some, but it doesn't say that. The greatest of all is the servant of all. Don't we do that sometimes? We put conditions and criteria on who will serve. We need to serve whoever he says, and I see that in this group of fine people. So Megan stepped out. She was obedient to the Holy Spirit. She brought what she had. She felt lacking, and then the Lord showed up. He met her there and supplied. And we need to move away from thinking, I can't serve. I can't volunteer. I don't have the goods. I don't have the capacity. Well, apart from Christ, you don't. But you're not apart from Christ. So if you have Christ, Psalm 23, verse 1 is true of you. The Lord is your shepherd. I shall not. You don't lack for anything. One stronghold that we face here in Oklahoma, and I'm sure beyond, people say, well, the Lord didn't tell me to volunteer. Lord didn't tell me to work the door, because I know, you know, Laura's got some openings for her connections team. Jody's got openings in Kids of Grace, and then Seth's got some opening on the tech team. And sometimes people say, well, Lord didn't tell me to do it. But it's all over the Word of God to love people, to serve. Am I wrong? It's all over the Word. I mean, what are you waiting for? A thus saith the Lord audible voice? Because it says in Scripture, love, serve, exhort, care, encourage. So it's all over the Word to love and to serve people. And it's not works-based. Because the Lord didn't tell you verbatim to do it. That's not a work. A works-based mindset is, well, I open the door for people. I'm a greeter on Sunday morning, and so that makes me right with God. That is a works mindset. We don't do it that way. We serve because we are righteous, not to be righteous. We love one another, not so we'll be loved. We already are loved. Right? The Lord's our shepherd. We don't lack for love. So because we're full and because he's our shepherd and because he's our supply, that's why we love. That's why we serve. So it's not a work or a religious act because you didn't get a thus saith the Lord to open the door for people. It's all over the scriptures. And so when we step out in obedience, we do it with the right heart and the right motive. Amen, somebody. Amen. Don Wheeler says it all the time. The primary way that God speaks to us is scripture. Well, I can show you in scripture it's okay to love and serve people. And a good friend of mine, Paul Whitlock. Paul, raise your hand. Paul helped train me in ministry back in 1994. So any problems you have with me, talk to him. See if you remember this one. Remember this? Because we, you know, at Life Christian, we're working together on staff, and he'd get up there and say, he's talking about, he'd make an appeal for volunteering. Let's be a church that doesn't lack volunteers. And he'd say, some of you are waiting on feeling led. Well, here's a pencil. So if you want to feel led, do you remember? He'd whip that out of his pocket and say, yeah, you want to feel lead? Well, here's some lead for you. Now you're lead. Now go love on somebody. Come on, give him praise. Amen. God is good. He is good. All right. Did I cover all that? Yeah. Let's never be short on volunteers. I like this word. Let's begin a servolution. I like that. And it's not just inside the church. It's outside the church too. Let's don't be just hearers of the word. Let's be doers of the word. Let's be active in putting God on display. Chuck 12, he's not here this morning, but, and Will Shepherd's at prison, but they've already talked to me. Chuck's got this. Okay, hold on. Will Shepherd is ministering at prison. Who said that over here? That was good. They're like, Will Shepherd went back to prison. Will is ministering. Now, so Chuck has a furniture store in downtown Oklahoma City. Well, this Saturday night, there's a big event from 4 to 7 somewhere near his business. And he had the idea, man, can we get some of the church cards that say, we're glad we had the chance to serve you. We just want to show you God's love. So he and Will are going to get some water. And just right outside their business, just engage with people and give them free bottled water. Whoever wants a drink of water can have it. Maybe they'll have some soda. But they give them that card because they're looking just for the activity of the Holy Spirit. Not everybody who takes a water is going to want conversation, but I bet there'll be a couple, and that's who they're looking for. So I call it servolution. We just want to be active and be doers of the word. Amen? All right, let's go to John chapter 6, verse 26 and 27. We got into this last week, but there's some more things that we want to look at. New King James Version, Jesus answered and said, truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Talking about the feeding of the 5,000 there. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Isn't that good? What's John 17, 3? Let Scripture interpret Scripture. What is eternal life? What's he talking about there? Wyatt, you're the man to know God. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So when he's talking about, let's eat food that endures to knowing God, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal upon him. And I talked about us being sealed a lot last week. But a different angle this week. What we see in verse 26 and 27 is a good example of a consumer culture. Everybody say consumer culture. The church didn't invent the consumer culture. America did. Our culture is very much driven by consumption and the, you know, buying and selling of goods and those kind of things. And it creates in us a mindset of, well, I like that, I'll take it, but I don't like that, I don't want it. The problem with that is when the Lord tells us to do something or Scripture says something, we shouldn't be picking and choosing what fits us the best. Well, amen. Jesus is saying here, you seek me not for what feeds your inner man, but what feeds your outer man. And I want you to seek me and the things of the Spirit that lead to you knowing God, following me, and helping others know me. Yeah. And if we're all honest, we've seen how the outer man cannot and will not submit to the inner workings of Christ. It just will not. Romans 8 says, not even capable of submitting. Listen to Romans 7, verse 22. I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. Did you know you delight in the law of God? You delight in his word? I'm talking about the real you. Because if you're thinking, well, I really don't, you're knowing yourself by the flesh. You're identifying with the outer man. You're a new creation. Your inner man loves the word of God. Your inner man wants to walk and talk with God and his word on a regular basis. That's Romans 7:22. How about this? Ephesians 3:16. May we be strengthened with might through his spirit in our inner man. You've got an inner man that wants to come forth. And when we start pursuing the things of the outer man, the natural man that Jesus is talking about here, we lose sight of the life of Christ within that wants to break forth. And that life of Christ within that breaks forth is how when people see you, they see him. When they hear you, they actually hear him. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 4:16. Though our outer man decays, our inner man is being renewed day by day. So we've got to identify more and more with our inner man and the food that feeds it, that leads unto us knowing God, following Christ, helping other people know him. Then we pay attention to the outer man. And it's tough because we live in America and a lot of the focus is the outer man. Most of our politicians are naturalists. I don't know if you know what that means, but a naturalist means they don't think there's really any spiritual component or dimension, that everything that exists is simply what you see, what you can touch in the natural realm. But we don't deny the naturals here. We just deny that's all there is, because we're bi-dimensionalists. There's a dimension of the natural, but there's a dimension of the spirit. Amen? And if you got a pulse, we're in here worshiping this morning the dimension of the spirit, and God is spirit, and whoever worships him in that unseen realm of the spirit, heart to heart, thought to thought, it's undeniable he's real. But our world locks us in to the natural realm. And the problem with that is, until that outer man is broken, all the inner life within doesn't get to burst forth. That outer man needs to be put to death or reckoned dead, okay? For the inner man to be released fully, we must reckon or consider the outer man dead. That comes from Romans chapter 6. Consider yourselves therefore dead indeed to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we forget. I've written the True You book, and I forget about the inner man. The real Steve is the inner man. The real Steve is the inner man. And Steve's inner man craves and longs for food, spiritual food, true riches that endure unto knowing God, unto everlasting life. So we have to begin letting go of the grip and the mindset we get locked into sometimes the natural things and seek spiritual things instead. Because if we're not careful, like we see here in John 6, 26 and 27, we'll tend to serve God for ourselves and on our own terms. Anybody ever done that? Oh, yeah. But let's commit to be, instead of serving God for ourselves and our own terms, and I'm still governing. I'll let Jesus in a little bit, but hey, that's too far. We want total lordship, amen? I promise you, he didn't die and rise again for you and on your behalf so you'd have an hour with him on Sunday. I promise you that. He is Lord of all. Yeah. And so I want us to work to be Christ-centered and others-minded. Christ-centered, others-minded. Because the consumer culture trains us that we're really just concerned about the outer man. We're really just concerned with what feels good to us. But man, that's not lordship. It's not enduring and pursuing food that endures to eternal life. John 12:24. Write that one down. Unless a grain of wheat, Jesus said, goes into the ground and dies, it'll remain alone. But once it dies, it bears much fruit. Let's be a fruit-bearing culture, not a consumer culture. Let's don't look out for the interest of the natural man, the outer man, but the inner man. Amen? I know I'm inviting us up the mountain a little bit. I get it. I'm in the same boat as you. It's fellowship. It's one ship, and I'm your fellow in it. I'm talking to myself. So if it dies, it bears much grain or much fruit. So how many of you agree? Life is in the grain. Is there life in it? It is. What has to happen to the outer shell for the life to come forth? It's got to die. It's got to be cast off. And we don't pay attention to that enough, where the outer man needs to be cast off on a regular basis. So the life that's within, that there's life in that seed, guys. But I'm telling you, your outer man will try to constrain it and keep Christ from bursting forth. You've got life in you. He who has the Son has the life. He who has not the Son doesn't have the life. So once you're born again by the incorruptible seed, you've got that seed in you. But I'm telling you, that outer shell has got to be cast off. We got to quit knowing ourselves by the natural man. And I know there's a balance here. We need jobs. We need to work. We have families. There are things we tend to as stewards on planet Earth. But I'm telling you, I believe under the unction and instruction of the Holy Spirit that too many of us are really locked into the outer man. And we need balance in this. We've got to cast off the outer man, our identity towards the outer man, and begin releasing the life of the inner man. Super important. So that's John 12:24. And let's begin to ask the Lord, where are we, Lord, as far as, am I seeking things for my own good instead of what you're after? Am I somehow just trying to include you in things I'm going after with the outer man instead of fully surrendered to the inner man? Because that outer shell is that old self life. It's that human natural life. But the inner man is that eternal life, the Zoe life of God. Here's another example. It's Mark 14, verse 3. If we can put that one up there. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as Jesus sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Most versions say pure nard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on Jesus' head. So it's the same principle here. The outer container was broken. So that what was inside, what represents, I believe, the Spirit and the purity of the Spirit could come forth. And so many times we value the flask. We value that outer shell. That thing's got to be broken. It's got to be subdued. And you can't do it apart from Him, but He needs your yes. If you'll give Him your natural yes, He'll give you His supernatural yes. That's how this works. Give Him your natural yes. Lord, I want this outer man stripped away and subdued so your life can burst forth. Here's my natural yes, and then here comes His supernatural yes. I mean, we need the Lord to put His super on our natural. Am I right? We need that to happen because we get locked into the natural man so often. We've got a treasure in an earthen vessel. The earthen vessel must be broken so the treasure can come forth. Jesus never said, seek the earthen things. The Apostle Paul never said that. He said, seek those things which are above. Seek those things in the realm of the Spirit. And we've all struggled with a consumer culture where we're hanging on to the outer man rather than linking arms with our inner man. And we settle. Even in churches it happens. People come and settle for consuming. What can I get out of church? What can I get out of the service? Rather than, I want to have a fruit-bearing mindset. I want to be able to give it all away. And don't get me wrong. If you're serving at the door as a greeter, yes, you are loving and you're serving. But he who waters others gets watered. Proverbs 11:25. You can't outgive God. I mean, he's going to lead you by this supply, and when you get out of the boat, there he is. We've seen it time and time again. Whatever he commands, he supplies the grace for you to execute it. Okay? So you're serving there, you're giving there, maybe it's kids' church, but like he did with Megan, man, when she said, you know what, I want to be your partner. I want to be part in giving it all away, he met her there. And she didn't let the outer man convince her that the life should be subdued. But that's what happens to us. We let our outer man, our feelings, the natural man, the natural circumstances out-argue us. And it'll confine that light and life of the inner man. But we're saying no today. Amen? Amen. And tomorrow, not just today. But we don't want to just come and consume. We want to produce with the inner man, a producing culture, a new man culture at Grace Church, a bearing much fruit culture at Grace Church, the fruit of new converts everywhere. Why? Because we decided to get out of the boat. I love the boat illustration because in John 6, sometimes he's telling you to get in the boat. And then we argue with him because, you know, you get out on the water and there's a storm. And you're like, Lord, don't you care about us? But other times with Peter, he's like, no, get out of the boat. Walk on water. Come to me. So whatever he's telling you to do, the bottom line is let's do what he asks us to do. And we'll see new converts everywhere, the fruit of new disciples everywhere, Christ followers everywhere, people growing in Christ everywhere. It'll be part of the culture, advancing God's kingdom one heart at a time through a bunch of yielded believers who refuse to be me first. Unless it's inner man first, because that's really the true you. That's really who you are. Let's put the next slide up there. It talks about fruit bearing. Fruit bearing creates kingdom advancement. And our vision, you know, is advancing God's kingdom one heart at a time. Fruit bearing creates kingdom advancement, which changes individuals for the corporate good, hastening the fulfillment of the Lord's plans for Grace Church. See, in our culture of rugged individualism, which has its perks. So prayerfully, the government doesn't ramrod us and take us over. Thank you, Jesus. But so sometimes it's hard for us to realize, you know what, I'm part of a bigger family. The kingdom's not just for me. I'm actually placed in the kingdom and in the body of Christ to be part of Holly and part of Glenn and Juanita, and I'm part of Gladys. And does that make sense to you? Don Wheeler says it all the time. When the Lord looks in this room, exactly, when he looks in this room, he doesn't see a couple of hundred Christs. He sees one. He sees one Christ when he looks in this room. And isn't it amazing when other believers come from another church, but who are born of the same Spirit, washed in the same blood, and call the same God Father, we're just fast friends. I mean, it's because our unity is in the Spirit. So we face that in our culture. It's like, well, I don't want to be part of a bigger whole. They need somebody to greet at the front door. I don't want to be part of that. But be careful that you're not just doing whatever you want. Instead of laying your life down and saying, Lord, I want to partner. It is in Scripture to love and encourage people. I could do that. How about suffer the little children to come to me? The Lord loves children. Could be part of that. Amen. And if you get stuck and you said, I didn't feel led, come see me or Paul. We'll give you a pencil and then you'll be led. I want to say it again. Fruit bearing. So we don't want a consumer culture. We want a fruit bearing. When I say culture, think mindset. We don't want a me first mindset about church. We want a fruit bearing mindset. Lord's my shepherd, I don't lack for anything, let me give it all away. Let me share it. He never asks you to earn it, but he does ask you to share it. I mean, the fact that you're here, somebody shared it with you. It got out, and it got to you. Amen? And remember when I repented, Larry? I think it was 3 weeks ago. I apologized to the church. I said, I think we focus so much on what the Lord does for us, we need to focus more on what does he want from us. And I think part of that, Larry, was because in our culture, when the woke movement came and then we had COVID, I think I just took a step back. It's almost like, what do we say? You know, you had the hate speech thing, and then pretty soon they assigned that to us. If you try to tell somebody what Scripture says, that's kind of hate speech. So I think there's just a little confusion, but that day is over. That day is over. And so fruit-bearing mindset creates kingdom advancement. And that kingdom advancement changes, transforms individuals for the corporate good. As Dottie is transformed into the image of Christ, it benefits all of us. As Cindy is, it benefits all of us. And Beth, Kenny. Does that make sense? I mean, we're part of something bigger than our individual selves. And thank God for that. Thank God. If it's true individually, that if a man seeks his own life, he'll lose it. Jesus said that. If he's all about himself, he'll lose his life. It's true for the church, too. It's true for the church. If the church only, if all we care about is Grace Church, we'll lose ourselves. We're part of a bigger mission. So it works on all these different levels. You and me together here, yes, but us together. Choctaw Road's over there. There are brothers in Christ. Do we keep house the exact same? No, we don't. We see some things differently, but I can tell you this, they love Jesus. I can tell you that, and so do we. It's easier to train people to go to church than it is to train them to follow Christ. So, it is the truth. But Jesus' goal is not to train you to go to church. I said this earlier. He didn't die for you for an hour on Sunday. He wants to govern you, love you, lead you, lord you 24/7. Should we give him praise? Let's give him praise. That one hit. That hit. He is so good to us. But you know, we don't want to just train you to attend church. And attending church is great, but being the church is better. And to be the church, we all have a part to play. Now, something I think we've been good at over the years, nobody should be used. Churches shouldn't use people. And if you're brokenhearted, you know, you need healing, then let us help you. But don't stay there. Don't let that be an excuse for, you know, here we are 5 years later and you're still, no, man, let us help you. If you're broken, tell us that. You may not be in a season that you need to be in kids' church or on the worship team, but can we work together towards healing and wholeness so that you can participate? Amen. I will give my life for the latter. We'll say it again because it's easier to train people to go to church than it is to train people to follow Christ. I'll give my life for people to follow Christ. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And he, you know, I love church. Nobody got to kick me out of bed. I'm being for real. And I think it's good to have a pastor that likes Sunday morning. Because there are some that don't. And matter of fact, you remember the joke? It's a great story. This couple woke up, they're in bed, and it was Sunday morning, and the wife said, "Honey, we got to go to church." He's like, "No, I don't want to go. You know, I'm sleepy." She said, "Honey, come on, let's get up, let's go to church." He said, "Honey, I don't want to go. Those people are mean. They're mean to me." And she said, "Honey, you're the pastor. You've got to get up and go to church." But I'm not going to give my life for church attendance. But I will give my life to Christ and to help train people to know him. Because there's so many things that impacts. You look at our country. Our country needs help. We all know that. But Christ is the answer. And people who are trained and understand how to follow Christ. There's many well-meaning people, been in church a long time. They don't know even how to sit with him in Scripture and hear him, hear his voice. It's important to help people with Eat the Word or SOAP. I mean, that's what those tools are for. Don't worship the tools. The tools are there to serve the greater King. So we help people get connected to the vine. So we lay down our life for lordship. We lay down our life for time spent with Jesus because you can't give away what you're not willing to spend time receiving. And then you show and help others do the same. And so as followers of Jesus at Grace Church and beyond, we love. Right, Dottie? We serve. We give. We disciple. We invest Christ and we volunteer. We are others-minded. Let's be like the book of James says, "I'll show you my faith by my works." He's not saying he's earning it, but he's saying there is an evidence. Tim and Nancy and this team are great. What a great morning for them to be here because they're demonstrating their faith by their activity. So whether it's, you know, 6-12 students, and I love, man, the two Cannon boys are here on the front row. I love what's happening in our student ministry. Love it. K Kids of Grace 1825, which is our young adults ministry, outreach teams, things outside the church. What I love about and why I told you about Chuck Twelves and Will Shepherd working together is because when we're talking about outreach, it's an identity. It's not an event written on the calendar. I am all for events on the calendar. Thanksgiving outreach, we just had it. And that young man at CVS got to see what a Christ follower actually looks like. Because we showed our faith by our generosity. We didn't know the guy. He didn't, quote, in his own mind, deserve anything to get a free turkey dinner while he's working at CVS on Thanksgiving. But there we were. Does that make sense to you? So it's not just an event on the calendar. It's an identity. We're just always looking to live connected to Christ, be transformed by Christ. And then in those works, we're being transformed. We're putting God on display. We're partnering with him to work the works of Christ and give away the love of God. Because God doesn't desire that any would perish, but all would come to know him. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? All right, let's go to verse 28 and 29, and we'll wrap this up here in about 5 minutes. John 6, 28. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" There it is. Jesus answered and said to them, "Well, here's the work of God. Believe in me." So we supply the belief, the consent, that receptivity, that movement. Yes, I believe. And remember, pistuo is deep, personal, ongoing reliance and trust of Christ. Deep. And my favorite word in the definition is personal. Not aloof. It's a deep personal trust. God the Father recreated us and sealed us, authorized us, deputized us with his Holy Spirit. The same seal Jesus has in John 6 here is the same seal you have, Ephesians 1:13, so that we can sit in the class our whole life and learn forever? No, so we can work the works of God that he predestined us to work, Ephesians 2:10. So he owns us. That's what that seal of the Holy Spirit means. Your life is not your own. He owns us. He owns that inner man. So let's go to work on that outer shell and shucking it and casting it off, because I want the inner life bursting forth. Amen. He claims us. He authorizes us. I asked last week, you know, we sat and asked the Lord, "Lord, what works of yours did you predestine for me to walk in that I'm not walking in?" Do you remember that? Remember asking that? How did you do? Did any of you get started? Yep, a couple of head nods. Good. Well, when we ask and he answers, we need to do what he says, right? We're not asking for informational purposes. We want to be able to act on it. And now let's go to verse 30 through 33. Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." 32, then Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven." I love this. "For the bread of God is he." Everybody say, "is he." The bread of God is he. Who's your food that endures to eternal life? Christ. I'm all for getting in Scripture, Chris, rightfully so. We need to be in Scripture, but I don't want to be in there apart from him. I want to be listening to him. For me, Bible reading is an act of listening to the Holy Spirit. The bread of God is he. Underline that. The bread of God is he. It's a person who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Guess what that word life is in the Greek? Zoe. Divine life. Inner life. Not the outer man, the inner man. Matt, you guys can go ahead and come. Moses didn't feed him. God fed him via Moses. But beyond that, Jesus is the true bread. And it's not a natural outer bread he's talking about. Spiritual bread to be eaten on a daily basis. He comes and gives life to the world. So how many of you are trained to eat in the natural realm? We have to do it, right? How many of you eat three times a day? Not too many of you, a couple of you. Well, my point is this. When you eat naturally, let it quicken you to remind yourself, make sure have I eaten spiritually today? And then another thing you can do is set a timer on your phone. Because, listen, I know when we get to working and so forth, we can get distracted, okay? There's no condemnation for those in Christ. This is a marathon, not a sprint. We are learning, and he's going to be with us every step of the way. That's the beauty of the new covenant. I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's actually five times in the Greek. Never, never, never. No, not ever, ever will I leave you or forsake you. So he'll walk you through it. He'll teach you and coach you. But set an alarm if you need to. Every few hours or whatever. Hey, have I eaten of Christ's life today? Am I still allowing that outer shell, the outer man, to be cast off and die? Reckon it dead so that the inner man that delights in the Word of God can burst forth. Amen? Will you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So the closing team is here, and Matt and them are going to lead us in kind of a reprise of worship. Those of you on the part of the ministry and closing team, if you would come to, just simple invitation, guys. If you don't know Christ and you want to know Christ, please come forward and these will pray with you. And then secondly, if you're ready to see the inner man burst forth, I want to invite you to come. They'll lead us in worship. The altars will be open. But ask the Lord and do what he says.